Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and today we're going to continue reading through the ELM and our continuing mission to make all of us as educated as we can be and turn the tables on management. So I have been reading the ELM on your behalf, and of course on my own behalf, and taking notes. And then for these episodes, I just read from my notes that we skip all the stuff that's irrelevant in the ELM, which is big chunks of it. And I thought you might be interested to know that so far, just from the ELM, we've gone through 105 pages of notes that have been created from the source document. So that's a hell of a lot of study on our part, and that's pretty solid. And we'll add another 7 pages here. By the time we're done with this, it'll bring our total to 112. We're going to get all the way through the 700s today. Or I guess it's technically Section 7, which is Training and Development. This is the part of the manual that is the closest to my heart. You can tell I have a passion for training. So there's some interesting stuff in here. We might as well start reading it. 711.1, Strategy. 711.11, General Policy. The Postal Service invests in success by providing systems and resources to meet the training and development needs of the organization and its employees. Broadly stated, Postal Service policy provides employees with training and development opportunities consistent with operational requirements, occupational categories, and technical and functional competencies. 711.13, Responsibility. Each employee, his or her supervisor or manager, and the organization share responsibility for employees' training and development. So, management is clearly failing in this responsibility. There is a lack of training across the post office. And that's why I had to create this podcast. Management has a responsibility to make sure we're all trained up, to give us those training opportunities, to give us that follow-up training. And we'll get into some of that in this section. And they're just not doing it. If they were doing it, I wouldn't have to do this podcast. Next, 711.2, Purpose and Goals. The following purpose and goals include: A, the training and development function. 1, designs, coordinates, organizes, and facilitates learning and development solutions and events. 2, supports the workforce acquiring knowledge, skills, and abilities required for effective job performance. So again, here, we're the workforce, we're supposed to be acquiring these skills, and we do have that training right at the beginning of our career, but then there's no follow-up training. 3, provides employees with career growth opportunities consistent with Postal Service goals, objectives, and strategies. And guys, most of the 700s is about that. It's about people in management looking to move up, looking to move to other aspects of management, things like that. That's what most of this training is aimed at. B, training and employee development programs. 1, align to corporate goals and business strategies to maximize organizational resources and offer timely, economical, and effective learning solutions throughout the organization. Dude, that piece was definitely written by somebody who went to business school. 2, support the organization's present and future workforce needs. 3, respond to the workforce's training and development needs. And that's the part that, you know, I have no idea how lackluster the training is for management. I can only assume that it is awfully lackluster based on the quality of managers that we get. But clearly it is lacking in training for the rank and file employees as well. That's going to be, you're going to hear that a lot as we go through this 700s. 711.3, Objectives. The Postal Service plans, I'm going to interrupt myself. I don't want to be the complainer. I don't want to just come on here and complain about, man, the post office really does a stinky job of keeping its employees all trained up. With complaining, the follow-up question should always be, well, what are you doing about it? And in this case, I feel like I have a good answer for that. What are you doing about it? I'm training people. I've taken it upon myself to do this podcast. And it's a shame we don't get this level of support from management. All right, moving on. 711.3, Objectives. The Postal Service plans training and development activities based on need and demand to enable employees to A, upgrade or maintain proficiency in their current jobs. B, acquire job-related knowledge, skills, and abilities after selection for or assignment to a specific position or duty. C. Learn new Postal Service systems, procedures, or technologies. D. Develop knowledge, skills, and abilities as part of the succession planning and leadership development process. And E. Obtain and enhance knowledge, skills, and abilities unrelated to their present duties to attain self-determined goals or career objectives. So I want to go back up to the top here. Objective A, upgrade or maintain proficiency in their current jobs. Once again, this is laid out in the ELM that this is something management is supposed to be doing, and they simply don't. I've had interaction with the local postmaster where I've sent letters, you know, that, hey, we really need follow-up training for these carriers. There's nobody who thinks Aura carriers are all properly trained up. They've got all the training they need. Nobody thinks that. And yet, what does management do about it? Certainly in my area, in Las Vegas, they're not doing a thing about it. They just tell the carriers to go faster, and whatever happens, happens. So, here we find ourselves. 711.4, training and development categories. Training and development programs and learning experiences fall under three basic categories. A, formal job training. B, self-development training. C, on-the-job experiences, including feedback and coaching. 711.41, formal job training. 711.411, description. Formal job training is training that management requires to A, qualify an employee for presently assigned duties, B, improve an employee's performance of assigned duties, or C, prepare an employee for a future assignment subject to selection procedures. Formal job training is always compensable for Fair Labor Standards Acts, FLSA, non-exempt employees. Now, to go back up to the description, it reads that this is training that management requires to do these things. What it means by that is that management requires the learner or the student to have the training, whether it's a craft employee, a management employee, or anything else. Management requires this training. They require us to have this training. And I'll say it again, this is where they are falling short of one of the ways. 711.42, self-development training. These are courses that, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but these are courses that employees can take independently, and the training must be approved by management. So this means that you can't take irrelevant training, stuff that has nothing to do with your job. But there are opportunities for self-directed training through postal approved programs, and there's also ones even through universities that the post office may reimburse you for if you want this specific training. We'll get into some of that a little bit later, but mostly that's for people already within management positions or trying for management positions. 711.423, job relatedness. Requests for self-development training must be assessed individually to determine job relatedness. If the subject matter of a training program is directly related to an FLSA non-exempt employee's current job or definite future assignment subject to selection requirements, the employee's time spent in training is considered formal job training subject to the provisions of 711.41 and is compensable under FLSA. So just to kind of summarize that for you, if it is training that you need for your job, you get paid for it. 711.424, examples. Examples of self-development training include A, an online course in a second language for a letter carrier. And then below this, there's a bunch of other examples for other positions, but I picked out the one that has to do with the letter carrier. So you could, in theory, get like a Rosetta Stone or Duolingo or something like that, and the post office will pay for it because it's useful for you to know that second language. So if you're thinking about learning a second language, you might as well take advantage of these provisions and have the post office pay for it. Yeah, buddy. 712, training compensation guidelines. I think I'm going to learn the international language of love. Ask my wife. I clearly do not speak it now. So maybe the post office can maybe learn that one. All right, 712, training compensation guidelines. So this section goes over how you get paid when you take certain courses. And it's been covered elsewhere, so I'm not going to repeat it here, but there is one item that's worth noting. It's 712.24, management responsibilities. Management must inform each employee of all factors relevant to the training program that the employee is taking, such as the time allotted for the training, if supplemental training time is not available, and if removing training materials from Postal Service premises is prohibited. At the Carrier Academy, we were taught that the book that we use in the Carrier Academy cannot be taken home until the Academy is over. 713.2, selection considerations. Except as otherwise specified in collective bargaining agreements, selecting individuals for training must be based on A, the degree to which an employee's improved performance will benefit the Postal Service by helping to achieve immediate organizational needs. B, the relative degree of an employee's need for training. C, the extent to which training is likely to improve an employee's performance. D, an employee's interest in and efforts to improve work performance. E, an employee's ability to pass the training on to others upon the employee's return to the job, if appropriate. And F, an employee's career goals and the knowledge and experience required to achieve them. If I have a carrier at my station who I think needs extra training, these are the criteria that I'm going to point to, 713.2, the selection considerations, to say, look, if we give this employee like an extra day of on-the-job training, these are the benefits that we can expect to receive. You know, part B, the relative degree of an employee's need for training. Dude, look at what the guy's doing. He's putting the certified letters in the mailbox without even getting a signature. He's throwing preferential mail into the UBM. You know, whatever it is, there's benefit for additional training. Now, I've been fortunate at my station when I've gone to supervisors and said, hey, can we get this guy another day up on the job? Usually they just go for it and say, yeah, we'll schedule it, you know, next week or something, and they actually do it. If I had to fight for it, this is where that fight begins. 714.22, information about training delivery sources. Delivery sources would be like how they deliver the training to you. Information about official learning and development training program delivery sources is communicated through multiple vehicles, including A, the Postal Service intranet, also called BLUE, B, regular communication channels at headquarters, C, targeted communication campaigns, including the Learning News and Notification newsletter and the monthly MLDD webinar. So this is probably why I never hear about these training opportunities, and probably why you never hear about them either, is because, like, what is the MLDD webinar? It doesn't even say, like, what that abbreviation stands for. I don't know how to get onto Blue. That's not light blue. Like, I can get to light blue. So, anyway. 714.221, headquarters. The Learning and Development Department. Oh! Ha ha ha! Well, wait, so MLDD webinar, and then there's Learning and Development Department. So it's some M is something, Learning and Development Department. All right, well, look at that. I just figured that out right here on the fly. All right, moving on. 714.221, headquarters. The Learning and Development Department at headquarters is the official source for formal and enterprise-wide training and is responsible for delivering quality training that improves the employee experience, meets the organization's needs, and safeguards USPS resources. All USPS training products and services must adhere to quality standards and support the Postal Service's strategic plan and mission. So when I was still teaching at the Carrier Academy, the PowerPoint that we had in there was hopelessly out of date. It still had MSPs in there, and we haven't had those in a very long time. And so these are the people at headquarters, the Learning and Development Department. They're the ones who should be updating this stuff and getting better material out there, and they're not doing it. 715, Postal Training Systems. 715.1, Explanation. Postal Service training systems are designed for specific Postal Service employee categories, e.g. craft, technical, professional, supervisory, managerial, and executive. Individual courses within these training systems are described in Learning and Development webpages, Postal Service learning portals, and literature about specific training programs. 715.2, Postal Orientation. An orientation program is required at all levels for new career employees on their first day of official duty. So when a CCA converts to career, like when you first get hired out of the post office, there's orientation. But there's also supposed to be an orientation when a CCA converts to career. And it's supposed to happen on their first day. 715.3, craft skills training. Craft skills training is usually provided before an employee is required to perform duties under routine supervision. Craft skills training is required for A, newly appointed career craft employees, B, current career employees transferred to a different craft, C, craft employees given new duties within the scope of their assignments at management's direction. And then the Carrier Academy would be a good example of that. Before you start doing your duties as a carrier, you go through the academy. 720, training and development responsibilities and functions. 721, organizational responsibilities and functions. 721.1, headquarters. The chief human resources officer is responsible for Postal Service training and development systems. Their responsibility includes A, analyzing training requests and designing, developing, validating, delivering, and evaluating National Postal Service training and development programs. And then there's a bunch of other training programs that are listed here that are directed at management. But this is, if there's any one person who's responsible for the sad state of the Carrier Academy, this is the person, the Chief Human Resources Officer. This person is the reason I have to do this podcast. But I also enjoy doing the podcast, so I guess there's that. 721.2, areas. This talks about management at the area level. The area human resources function is responsible for administering training and development policies and for training area personnel. These responsibilities include A, supervising the development and implementation of an area training and development planning system. B, facilitating the flow of information and recommendations between headquarters and the districts about existing training and development policy, efforts, and future needs. C, strengthening the ability of district training and development professionals to 1, understand policy and contribute to policy development, 2, administer national programs, 3, respond to local needs. We obviously have a local need for more training. How do we get this person to respond to that need? I don't have a postal email. I don't have an NALC email either. And I have no idea how to send these people messages. It seems like there would be some directory or something, but I don't know how to access it. If you know how to access it, please drop me a line. classesandmail@gmail.com. 721.3, districts. District managers, plant managers, and other installation heads are responsible for their employees' training and development and for ensuring that it is consistent with corporate business goals and strategic plans. District training responsibilities and functions include A, establishing training and development units within national guidelines, B, implementing training and development staffing criteria within national guidelines, C, establishing and implementing training and development space allocations according to Handbook AS504 Space Requirements. D. Ensuring that the objective, length, and content of national training courses taught locally are not changed without the prior approval of learning and development at headquarters. E. Making certain that employees use electronic training databases appropriately. F. Monitoring training to ensure that it complies with national training and development policies. G. Establishing and implementing other measures to ensure that employee training and development meet the organization's requirements. Is that really happening? H. Coordinating district training requirements with learning and development at headquarters. And I. Developing or acquiring and coordinating or delivering district training in accordance with established guidelines. And now we get finally down to the supervisor level, 721.4, supervisors and managers. Supervisors and managers are responsible and accountable for A, ensuring that employees under their supervision are trained in a timely manner to perform their assigned job tasks. B, identifying employees' needs for improvement in their present jobs. Guys, I'm going to read that again. B, identifying employees' needs for improvement in their present jobs. This is one of the steps that should be taken before discipline. There are opportunities for training. There are opportunities for correction. There's the 16.2 official discussion in the contract. There are things that management should be doing to correct problems that they're seeing, and they're just not doing it, at least not where I have access to. C, planning for their employees' training in coordination with training systems available for their facilities. D, following up after employees complete formal job training to ensure that they use newly acquired knowledge, skills, and abilities optimally and appropriately. This is it right here. Like, this is the whole point. Following up after you get this training to make sure that you're using the new skills optimally and appropriately. Where's the follow-up? That's when I complain to management. I always use the same example. I'm going to be on the radio here next week. I'm going to be on our local national public radio affiliate again. I'm actually going to be talking about this podcast. And the example that I always use when I talk about the need for this training is we have these 7 days of instruction at the beginning of our career. 4 days in the academy, 3 days of on the job. And then after that, the next time we get intensive training from the post office is never. There is no Part D, following up after employees complete formal job training to ensure that they use newly acquired knowledge, skills, and abilities optimally and appropriately. E, identifying and providing other training to meet the organization's and individual employees' needs. F, evaluating and supporting as appropriate employee requests to participate in self-development training opportunities. G, providing employees with information and guidance on career growth. H, documenting the outcomes and expectations of provided training, including the return on investment. And then finally, we get down to even below supervisors and managers. Who is below supervisors and managers? 721.5, employees. Employees are responsible for A, making effective use of training opportunities that management provides, B, consulting with their supervisors and pursuing personal career goals to guide their own growth and development, and C, continuing throughout their careers to learn and improve their knowledge, skills, and abilities while sharing what they have learned with other employees. Moving on, 732, training records and reports. 732.1, individual training records. 732.11, training tracking system. Postal Service training for all employees must be documented and maintained in Cornerstone On Demand Hero as the system of record. So, if you have received official training from the post office, such as the HIP heat training, the Heat Illness Prevention Program, this is where that record will be noted, is in your HERO training. So, I would encourage you to check your own HERO training record. Go on there, look at all the trainings that you have been given, and make sure they're all valid. This is how we found out that management was falsifying our heat training records, including mine that was falsified last year. This year I got it, but last year it was falsified. I did eventually get it. So interestingly, this year when we were getting our HERO training, it was in like March or something like that, I logged on to Light Blue, went to, where is it? I think it's Employee Apps and then HERO. And then there's a few other steps to finally get to it, but I looked at my transcript of all the trainings that I had received. And I saw that I had been put in for 14 separate trainings, all completed on January 4th of 2024. And there were things like rollaway runaway prevention and lead safety and electrical lockouts and all kinds of weird stuff like that. Like, rollaway runaway is fairly standard, but there was a bunch of other weird stuff in there, like know where your exits are. And they were all listed as being completed on January 4th. And I feel like if I would have gotten, there were 14 trainings in total. If I would have gotten 14 trainings on January 4th, like if we had 14 straight stand-up talks about these topics, I feel like I'd remember that. And so I knew right away, oh, management has falsified our training records. And so I asked the dude next to me, my buddy Nathan, I'm like, hey, man, pull up your hero record, and I want to see if you have this on there, too. And he did. He had the same 14 trainings that I had, and he wasn't even at work in January. He was out on paternity leave for the entire month. And so it turned out that station-wide, our station manager just went in and falsified all of our training records. So I filed a grievance on that, and it's working its way through the system now. When that eventually settles out, it's going to be an interesting story, but I probably shouldn't talk about it right now. Anyway, the moral of the story is check your own hero training records and make sure that everything's accurate, because that cease and desist is valuable. You know, for the grievance that they need to stop falsifying our training records. And providing evidence that they're still doing it is also powerful. 732.12, PS Form 2432, Individual Training Progress Report. The employee must record on PS Form 2432, Individual Training Progress Report, the training hours that are to be entered manually into HERO as the system of record. So it says here, must record on PS Form 2432. Off the top of my head, I don't even know what that form looks like. But it says here that it must be used, and so I feel like we should be enforcing that. That, hey, if you're going to say that we're getting this training, we need to use this form. It says the employee must record on PS Form 2432. 732.13, PS Form 2548. This form I'm familiar with. This is the one we used at the Carrier Academy and for on-the-job training. Individual training record. New employee training must be recorded on PS Form 2548, individual training record. The training agent, the LDDS, or the employee's job instructor, and the immediate supervisor complete PS Form 2548. The LDDS retains the form at a central location, which the training supervisor or manager determines. 743. This section goes over how you go about getting training to move into management. Now, I'm not opposed to you going into management. It is the right decision for some people. And Lord knows, we desperately need good management. So if that's something that interests you, you know, there's a couple of things that I would tell you. Number one, I hear from supervisors all the time about what a shitty job it is and how they are given these totally unrealistic expectations of, you know, you better not have any carriers calling sick, or you better not use any overtime today, you know, stuff like that. And they're really just crapped on by upper management. And there's not a lot of reward to it. Not to mention carriers. Our union is so powerful that carriers will, like, sass management, tell them to go pound sand, and ain't nothing management can do about it. So it's not a great job. But it's also the only way, really, to move up and earn more money. You know, for me, I'm at step P. I'm at the top of the pay chart. And so no matter how good of a job I do as a carrier, I'm not going to make any more money. I'm already topped out. And the quality of my work has, you know, there's no, like, ambition doesn't get me anywhere further unless it gets me somewhere, like, within the union. But again, that's like a sidetrack from our regular job. And so I get why people would want to go into management. And I think, you know, my station has a very, very good supervisor right now. Unfortunately, she's about to retire. We need good candidates in management. And so feel free to check out ELM 743. See what it takes to get moved into management. You know, I'm happy in the craft. As much as I think I might do a decent job as a supervisor, it's not something that I want to do. Not at the post office anyway. So that's the rest of the 700s. There's other things in here that are like specific training opportunities for management development, who pays for it, and what the requirements are. And that pretty much that finishes out the 700s. So when we come back next time, there will be Section 8, which is Safety, Health, and Environment. So we'll go over a bunch of the safety rules and principles and things like that. In the meantime, guys, thank you for listening, and I will catch you next time.